That's the spirit.
Yes, it certainly is. How's it going? Peter, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Very
fantastic.
Good.
Great. This is the first time I've done a phone call on the air without hanging up on someone, so.
Yeah, easily true.
Cool. So, I want you to tell me a little bit about what David Farrier had to say about Arise Church, if that's all right, because I have not heard anything, so you're going to have to start from the top, I'm afraid.
So, David Farrier, whose background is somewhere along the line, has a background in Pentecostal churches, and when he came out as gay, he had a pretty sharp severance with them. And since then, last, 6 months, he's been writing on his webworm a series of attacks on various big Pentecostal churches. Some of them, you know, pretty obvious targets.
Okay. Is that in New Zealand or worldwide?
Yeah, although he's in Los Angeles, he's specifically writing about New Zealand churches.
Okay, I see.
Yep. And so in the last Monday's release and in this Monday's release, he has turned his attention to the big one in Wellington, which hasn't really had much, you know, negative coverage up to now.
And yeah,
this is Arise Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, people in Auckland won't have heard much about Arise Church. It's pretty similar to Life Church, the big one in Mount Eden.
Okay.
In some respects, it began around 2004 when it was called City Church, I think.
City Impacts? That's a different one.
No connection. It was City Church. That's a pretty bland name. There's quite a number of city churches. And then it changed its name, I think, around 2009 to Arise Church. And in the last 4 years, it has dramatically expanded to, I think it's 10 different parts of New Zealand.
Right.
And had announced last year that it was going to be opening a branch in Auckland, and then the lockdown didn't make that practical last year.
Okay.
But apparently they are meeting, I think, in the Viaduct Harbour or in that general area downtown Auckland.
Yeah. So David has a word to say about their expansion in that regard.
Well, not about their expansion. He's launched an attack that their clean reputation shouldn't be so.
I see.
What he's accused them of is particularly manipulating the people who do a voluntary program of an internship in the church.
Really?
And he says it's an exploiter. They're exploiters. They rip people off. They take people who come in with voluntary good intentions and send them out to babysit the leaders, to kids and the like. And so he says he's got
taking advantage of the free labor.
That's right, yeah. And he says he's got lots and lots of other terrible stories about the way they've treated people shockingly.
Right. I mean, interns are not treated great at the best of times, but
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is that what he's attacking, internship, is a very, you're right, it's a very fuzzy area because mostly interns, whether they're in law firms or in churches, are voluntary and supposedly receiving some training in return for being allowed to be employed,
right.
Except they're not employed, generally not paid.
That's the supposed deal, though, of course.
Yes, and it's a pretty dodgy deal, for sure. And I think there's a huge area that needs tightening up on because, when you're not employed, you're not subject to the standard labour laws.
No, of course, yeah.
And so there's some
risk. It's all the books in that.
Yeah. Some years ago, internships, there was a way to get academic credit for doing internships.
Right.
I believe that's still in place in many places. Yes, but of course for churches, they'd have to be doing a theology degree.
Oh, right.
And maybe they're not that committed or that suitable to wanting to do a theology degree. So there is a practical problem there, but it's hardly unique to them.
That is true.
You know, and so it worries me that this big broadside against Arise Church feels to me like it's a bit misaimed.
I see.
But it is intriguing because the founders of the church, John and Gillian Cameron, mm-hmm. are their names, and I tracked down on, they seem to mostly use Instagram as a way of communicating with their followers.
Sure.
They've got a enormous, enormous church that hires the Michael Fowler Centre in Wellington,
mm-hmm.
And also has a scene in Petone, and I think in Porirua in Wellington.
Right.
And they've expanded to Christchurch, Palmerston North, Whangarei, where they built a big building.
Hmm.
So they're pretty expensive, and they seem to have money.
And quite savvy on the social media and things like that.
Of course, of course. Their website is one of those dazzling websites where you wish that, you know, BFM could get up there and have that style.
Right.
There's no shortage of money. They believe in a very, very slick presentation.
Mm, right, which makes sense. But when it's...
And like all Pentecostal churches, of course, they're not shy in asking for money.
Right, of course.
So they're very clear that they believe Christians should give a tenth of their money to the church.
I see.
And they think that students who attend their church should give a tenth of their study awards.
Right, right, I see. And not to mention there's sort of a social expectation of volunteer kind of contribution,
of course, yeah.
in that regard. So I can sort of see what David's kind of getting at where...
I mean, it's an interesting question about whether if you receive government money, have you any right to use that for other than that for which it was designated? But then I guess we all use money we receive from the government for expenses that we don't think we have to account to the government for.
To one extent or another.
Yeah, so, I mean, that accusation too, it feels exploitative, but it doesn't feel criminal.
Sure, it's in that grey area where it's unethical, perhaps, without contradicting any.
Well, look, it can't be too unethical because if they did it in public, you know, they could be hauled over the coals by people.
Right, right, I see.
But there's no doubt about it that some people, you know, this is a church that all together in their 10 sites, they apparently claim to have 10,000 people attending every Sunday.
Wow,
that's big. That is really big. That is. You know.
That certainly is.
So there's a big turnover, presumably a big staff. Mm-hmm. Mostly their sermons will be relayed by a video link through to all the different churches.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So it's a slick operation.
Right, it sounds like in the
upshot of all this, people get hurt, for sure.
Mm.
Because, you know, if you're working for a slick operator like that, they're going to be pretty quick to get rid of you if they think you're not going the right way.
Right, of course.
I bet their position on gay people will not be friendly.
Right, I would most likely think you're right there.
So there's lots of predictable things that people can feel very bruised about.
Right.
I was intrigued on Instagram when I tracked it down. During the week after David Farrier's web wound report, there was a... It appeared as though an exchange between a former member of Arise and Cameron himself, who was apologetic and said, "We didn't mean to hurt you, please let me know and talk to me offline."
Okay.
And you wondered, oh, what's going on here?
Bit of damage control, eh?
Yes, but that was nothing compared to what came out on Webworm today, because they had... Farrier always checks up with the people he's attacking. You know, what do you have to say about the story?
Yeah.
And not a word back, of course.
Okay,
not a word back.
Mm-hmm.
But
naturally.
But just before he went to air today, he received word from something called, was it Kingdom Communications?
Mm-hmm.
And Kingdom Communications apparently does PR work for religious bodies.
Hmm, okay.
And Kingdom Communications were, you know how communications firms are always very keen to engage, but never know anything about the circumstance.
Sure.
So, and that was that sort of reply.
Oh, right, interesting.
And so maybe
touched a nerve.
Do get a little vulnerable.
Interesting.
Because they've just picked up this account and feel there's something to defend. Okay. And I tell you why. For sure, it's the big trouble in the Australian equivalent Hillsong.
Oh, really? Because, what happened there?
You know, Hillsong has got attacked by the Australian Royal Commission for the chief pastor, Brian Houston, concealing that his father was a child abuser.
Right, okay.
And spectacularly, 3 weeks ago, Brian Houston resigned as leading pastor of this mega organization that stretches across the world of mega churches.
Okay.
And 3 days ago, he complained that now that he had left, his wife was being treated like dirt by the organization.
Wow.
So they're now living in California, having started in Australia.
Sure.
Well, started in New Zealand. So
a real cold shoulder.
I think this is a rise taking damage control because
before,
they don't want to end up in this messy spot.
Right, I can see that. Oh, well.
Pretty interesting.
There you have it, folks. You can check out, where can people find David Farrier's write-up there if they want to make up their own
mind? Just look for Webworm, or look up David Farrier and subscribe to his free weekly emails.
That's
or
right.
You can pay to join on the full scheme, or look up Arise Church and look at that website.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much, Pete. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it.
Have a good one. Stay well until then.
Excellent.
All right, everyone, we are going to carry on with our theme. We're going to play Jesus, I Was Evil by Darcy Clay. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
Until next week.